the Lord for that song. And, I do want to give you an opportunity, if you have something you'd like to say about your mother, give you a brief opportunity to say a word of testimony, or anyone. You don't have to, but Sister Linda?
I have nothing but wonderful thoughts for my mother. She was a loving, kind, never seen anybody with such a kind heart, and had a wonderful sense of humor, and just endless the way she took care of us, and always a gentle touch. Just a remarkable woman.
Amen. Amen. And we can see that in you as well, Sister Lynn, and we praise the Lord for that. Brother Phil?
My mom's the one that led me to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You know how few men that have that testimony? That's a blessed testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else real quick?
I want to thank God for my mother and how she was. And how generous she was, how loving she was in her own way.
Yeah.
And she was very, very caring.
Yes.
Amen.
She had a heart of gold.
Praise God. Amen. And those are mothers you want to emulate. You know, if you can improve on their character, and I know sometimes that's hard, but if you pass that on to your children, what a blessing that would be. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm. I know. Psalm 1. You will never know what this is like unless you're called to preach. I was working on a Mother's Day sermon, and I just kept being pulled toward this passage. And my thought was, that's not a Mother's Day message, but... I really do believe that's the way, this is where the Lord wants us to be this morning. And I was telling Brother Lewis last night, when you have a special day like this, it's hard sometimes because you almost want to go in a direction. And if you're not careful, you'll do that despite what the Lord wants. And I don't want to do that. I'm not saying that I get it right all the time either. But I do want to do what he wants. My prayer is, if Jesus was standing in front of you today, to tell you exactly what he would tell you. Now, I know that's a big ask, but he did say, ask and you shall receive. And so I hope this morning God will use this to help you. This has helped me. Thinking about this and meditating on it has helped me. And I hope it'll be a blessing and help you as well. Psalm 1. Says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And notice verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to speak for our Lord Jesus this morning. And we realize that these precious people are your sheep, the sheep of your pastor. Lord, you're the one that is their Lord and Savior. And you want to communicate to them your heart and your will. And I pray that you would just help me to be an instrument, that I would say exactly what you would have said, and Lord, keep me from saying things that really won't apply, but help each of us, Lord, help the one that may be here this morning that is lost and on their way to hell. help them to see that Jesus alone can save them, and that today is the day of salvation. And we pray that you would help them, succor them, bring them to Jesus today, that they would put their faith and trust in him. We pray, Father, that you would anoint us with the Holy Spirit, fill us with your Spirit, and God, help your children especially to receive something from your word, that they would be strengthened in their inner man and encouraged in their walk and relationship with you. And we will be careful, Lord, to praise you and thank you for what you do. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
This single psalm, the first psalm, really sets the tone for the Christian life. Not just for the rest of the psalms, but sets the tone for the Christian life. It reveals how we can succeed, how we can flourish as believers. God does not want you to just barely make it through your Christian experience. If you have children, you know what that's like. You want to see them doing well and flourishing, and you don't want to see them struggling and just going through a difficult time. And the Father wants you as well as a follower of Christ to do well. So it sets the tone for our success, but it shows us how that we can be strengthened and grow, and at the same time it warns us about the possibility of being subdued, defeated. And you have to say and admit, all of us do, there are some Christians that are succeeding in their Christian life, and then we know, sadly, some who are being defeated in their Christian life. And how many would raise your hand with mine? I've been in both camps before. I've been doing well, and then I've been doing terrible. And I think there's a key to this psalm that I have just, for some reason, overlooked. This is one of the first psalms that I committed to memory. So I often have quoted this psalm in a public worship service. I have often, in my own mind, went through this entire psalm because it's such food for the soul. It's good for you. But throughout all these years, I don't know exactly how many number, but a good number of years, I've missed a critical point. And that point is found in verse number 3. What he's doing in verse number 3 is he's making an analogy. And every time I've read this before, I pictured myself permanently planted by the waters. I'm a tree, and so we know you don't move trees around much, right? And so every time I've read this, I've read it, well, you're here, you're stationed here, and this is how you are, but that's not what he's trying to get across. He says in verse 1 and 2, what we have to do in order to enjoy verse 3. That's why sometimes in your Christian life you say, well, preacher, I've been, at this point, I was doing great. Whatever I did prospered. I was fruitful. I was full of life. I just loved God. I just wanted to serve Him. And then at times you can say, preacher, I was just as dry as burnt toast. I mean, when it came time to read my Bible, I didn't even want to read my Bible. And I wouldn't see anybody get saved. It was just terrible. And the reason is you're by the water flourishing, and then guess what you do? You move away from that water. And you're no longer flourishing. So there's three things I want to try to bring out to you this morning. First of all, the requirement for separation. And we know sometimes that we vacillate on this, right? We have the mind of Christ, and then at times we really have just a carnal mind like the mind of the world. When we have the mind of Christ, we are flourishing. When we're walking in our own flesh, our carnal desires, we are dying. We're drying up. There must be a separation from the world. Look at the very first warning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That counsel means that that's the mindset of the world. It's their advice, their guidance. That's what the world inputs into your mind and your heart. And by the way, it's doing that 24/7, 365. Right? It's doing it every day of your life. It's doing it all day of your life, and it doesn't miss a day. You say, preacher, how does it do that? It does it through the TV. Now, when you watch the TV, it doesn't sit there and say, now you know what you really need to do? You need to cheat on your wife. It doesn't say that, but you know what it does? It examples it every program you watch. Right? That's the example. And notice the examples have gone from father, mother, children in a home to here's a man, he's with this girl for a while, and you know they're having relations, and then she's gone, he's with another girl for a while, and they're having relations, and then she's gone, and then he's with another one, and that's how they picture it to you all the time. Don't settle down, don't be committed in a monogamous relationship. And it's pictured to you almost every program you watch. It's not just in every program. Every commercial is that way. How many of you watch commercials before you look? I know what you're doing here. You're not just trying to sell a product. You also have another message in that. When's the last time you watched a commercial and the husband of the house was intelligent and made good decisions and choices? You know, most of the time he is the one that is just the doofus. You know, everybody else, the children are bright, the wife is bright, but he couldn't tie his shoes, you know. And no matter what product they're selling, it's the dad who's the hero of the home, and they're making him look like the villain or an idiot. It's not just, and by the way, how much TV do you consume? You say, well, preacher, most of the time I let my kids watch, you know, different programs. You know what? Even those little kid programs, some of them, you ought to not let them watch. I don't know about you, but I don't like those kid programs where they exaggerate every word. Oh, my! Look at this! Isn't that amazing? Be careful! Right? Carrie was telling us the other day that Emma said something, and she said, that was an exact quote, word for word quote from this little, she said, you're not me watching that no more, little lady. And it's not just that, I need to hurry here, but it's all the music you listen to. Now, it's not just, you know, rap music is very corrupting. You should, nobody should listen to rap music. I mean, that is nothing but pure filth.
Yeah, true.
But guess what? Easy listening and country music isn't very good either. When's the last time you heard a country song? Faithful was the father who loved his wife and children, and they had a wonderful family. It's no, it's drinking and cheating and... I'm just trying to say the world is constantly filling your mind with stuff. And guess what? If you're not careful, you start taking that stuff in and you start thinking, yeah, you know what? They got a point there. Yeah. I deserve some things here. And you stop thinking biblically and you start thinking foolishly. It's the world that wants to guide you. And God warns us about this often in the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 8 real quick with me. Romans chapter 8. I'll try to hurry this up a little bit. Romans chapter 8. How many of you have got plans for Mother's Day meal or something? Well, we can stay here a while then. Nobody's got plans. That's good news. Wow, thank y'all so much for your participation. Romans 8. Look at verses 5 through 8. Let me just read this. Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now listen to me, this is the problem. Sometimes we mind the things of the flesh, even as Christians.
Amen.
But look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what?
Yeah.
Preacher, where's my passion? Where's my zeal for Christ? Where's my enthusiasm? You killed it. You say, preacher, how did I kill it? Because you neglected the word. And you're saturating your mind with the world, things of the world. Be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what?
Peace.
Life and? You say, preacher, we don't have no peace in our home whatsoever. I mean, it's constant fighting. It's just, well, guess what you're not doing then? You say, yeah, but we still, you know, we do read our Bible, so we pray. Yeah, but put that on the scale, and then put what you listen to in the world on the scale, and you see which one drops real fast. Is that right or not? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's always fighting God, resisting God, rebelling against God. And by the way, even your own heart sometimes, you say, preacher, I need to read the Bible, but I don't want to. Now, that's not coming from Jesus. That's not coming from the sweet Holy Spirit. Where is that coming from? My carnal flesh. And the devil is just encouraging it. He's fanning the flames. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as well, remember there's this discussion among the Gentile Christians about wisdom, who has real wisdom. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Yes.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the spirit of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And it is. James chapter 3, you can turn there later if you want to, 13 through 18, tells you about godly wisdom and then devilish. That's the advice and counsel of the world. You're going through a tough time in your marriage, and you're sitting down with this woman, and she's been divorced three times, and she said, you know, I wouldn't put up with that. You know what I would do if I was you? And you know what? She's got a point here. And then you read the Bible and it says, I hate divorce. You can work this out if you'll just humble yourself and try. Amen?
Amen.
But our flesh don't even want to hear that at times. How many of y'all can testify to that? So if we walk in the instruction of the world, it leads us to another step, and I'm not going to take the time to go through these steps, but it's a hardening process, because it's not only that we walk after the counsel of the ungodly, but then we start standing in the way of sinners. Now we're getting in their flow. Now there's a lot of wonderful Christians all across America. But how Christians can say that God is okay with homosexuality when the Bible clearly says He's not? You say, preacher, how can someone professing faith in Christ do that? Because they're thinking like the world, and now they're standing with the world. And it won't be long until they will be scornfully rejecting Jesus and His Word. You can't go down that path too long until you're sitting with them as well. So he said, if you want to be like this tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season and is flourishing and producing fruit with the green leaves and whatsoever you do prospering, then you have to reject the world and its influence on your mind. By the way, that's not easy to do. Because, it's everywhere. So there has to be a separation. You got to make a choice. I am not going to let the world tell me how to run my life. I'm going to let the Word of God dictate how our home works, our relationship in our home works, how I respond to others. I'm going to let Jesus' Word guide me. And then there's a second requirement. If you're going to be this tree by these waters and permanently fixed there, it is saturation. Notice what he said in verse number 2 of that psalm. Not only is blessed is a man that says to the world, I'm not taking your advice. I'm going to go to the Bible. But what does the next verse say? But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Day and night. Now, how many of you have your Bible reading time in the morning? Only. You say, preacher, don't tell me I have to read the Bible 24/7. It might be good for you for a little while. You might find some healing in it and help in it. If you said, okay, let me put in my mind and heart the Word as much as I've been putting the world in there. You might start finding some strength and stability and growth. It's necessary that we saturate our mind with the Word of God. The Word of God will change us. In the book of 2 Kings, you know, the kings would go into idolatry and then idols would be everywhere. And Hezekiah was a great king. And then after him was a terrible king, Manasseh. And then Josiah starts reigning at a young age. And there's idolatry everywhere. It's just, you know, just gross immorality. And he's on the throne. And they're cleaning up the temple and they find a copy of the Bible. And Shaphan starts reading and he takes it to young Josiah and he starts reading the Word of God to Josiah. And Josiah said, wait a minute, this is our problem. This is why we're in the situation we're in. And he starts getting rid of the idols and there's revival and he doesn't face the judgment of God because he humbles himself and he responds to the Word of God. Everything's turned around because Josiah started hearing what God's Word said. Remember in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, what we're instructed to do. Our minds have to be renewed. They have to be. You know, because since we were children, we had these ways of thinking as children. That the only thing that can change our way of thinking and even responding to people as children is by our minds being changed by what God has said in His Word. Amen. Every single one of us here this morning in this service, every one of us have a lot of things in our mind that's wrong and they don't line up with the Word of God. And we're not going to really grow and be the believers that we need to be until our minds start being renewed and changed and we start thinking in line with what God said and not what we've learned from being young children. I mean, you know, you don't have to sit down and go over words with your child for them to start learning how to talk. They just pick it up. Right? I mean, you may say, you know, in the battle, mama, daddy, you know, you say mama, you know. So you say, they said mama first, or daddy first. You may do, but I mean, you don't tell them the other words, they just pick it up. And not only do they pick that up, guess what else they pick up? They pick up this mindset that is contrary to God's Word. And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that has to change. And so he said it this way in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And listen to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world, but be transformed by how? Now, how are we going to renew our minds? What process can you think of that will renew your mind? Getting in the Word. By the way, sometimes even like this verse here, you're going to miss stuff. And after years, you're going to go back through it and you say, how come I never saw that before? I mean, it's right there. And the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more your heart's transformed into Christ-like thinking. Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes our problem is, you know, isn't it amazing to you that we'll go to college, we'll work real hard, we'll try to learn a lot of information so we can make a lot of money. Hello? And then when it comes to really what matters in life, this stays on the shelf and gets dirt on it, dust. Our biggest problem is we don't know what the Bible says. And the biggest answer to that problem is the Bible. Getting in the Word of God. I know myself. If I start getting cold and indifferent, you know what helps me? One thing that helps me is I go back and I read Matthew chapter 27 where Jesus died for me at Calvary. If I feel myself getting cold and indifferent, you know, it's Brenda, I'm not going to church today. You know, just tell the folks at church, I'm not coming today. You know, when I start leaning towards that way, and we all have to fight these battles, when I look at Jesus at Calvary on the cross, I say, look, Tom, He gave everything for you. Look how much He loves you. You can't do this. And then I start thinking this as well. I start listening to sermons. You know, on YouTube, you can learn how to fix your car.
Yep.
You can learn how to cook a meal. You can watch a bunch of stuff that just makes you laugh. You know, one of the first videos I started watching on YouTube, but Bruce showed it to me. There's a guy walking around a car, and he'd say, well, look at that. Would you look at that? Look. That's all he said. Was that all he said, Bruce? That's all he said. They'd make a comment, and he'd say, well, just look at that. I don't know why Bruce. I guess he wanted me to look at that. But you know, also, there is a great source of sermons. And you know, you can go on there. You can get Andrew Murray's books, and they'll read the entire book for you. You don't even have to read the book yourself. Just they'll read the whole book for you. I'm saying you could saturate your mind today in the Word much more than any other generation in the past. And it's not, I mean, there's just so much good stuff on there would help you flourish as a Christian, but we like, you know, the silly stuff and the things that don't really help us. Paul said we need to renew our mind. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, this is what the Bible said. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you
richly.
Now, let me say, if you were to look at the bank account of your own heart, how much of the Word is in there? I mean, some of us would have to file for bankruptcy. Right? There's so much in deficit that the preacher, I might as well just file for bankruptcy. It is supposed to be in us to the point that it's on our mind constantly. Brother Bruce, years ago, had this challenge. It was to read through your entire Bible in a month. And the preacher visiting our church said, you need to try to read through your Bible in a month. And then he says, and when it happens to you, let me know. And they said, what do you mean when it happens to you? What are you talking about? He said, you read your Bible through in a month, it'll happen. You say, preacher, what happened to them? That's all they thought about was the word, the word, the word, the word, the word.
Exactly.
What did Jesus tell us about in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 when the devil was tempting him and said, Jesus, you're hungry, you know, 40 days fasting, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm going to tell you something. You know what a lot of you Christians are doing? You're living by bread alone. You say, preacher, why am I struggling? Because your diet is physical bread and it's not spiritual bread. And if you would eat as often as you do physically, if you'd eat that often spiritually, you would say to me in just a short period of time, praise God, I love church, preacher, and I love Jesus.
Amen.
Don't be shocked when your heart starts turning dark and away from Jesus when you've neglected the very source that gives you strength and nourishment, and that is the Word of God. Amen? That's not just what I said about it. Jesus said, John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Jesus said in John 15, 3, now you're clean through the word or because of the word that I've spoken unto you. In John 6, 63, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now that don't mean you shouldn't exercise. Exercise is good, but why do you exercise? Strengthen your body, right? To get strong. Okay. Why then not exercise your spiritual being as well? Doesn't he need to be strong? Doesn't he need some care? Don't you need to work on him? It's a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Listen, Jesus said this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, this Bible is not just a big book full of words. It's not. There is power in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. He said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, what did he say in Hebrews 4, 12? The Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. What does the word quick mean? It's like the quick. It's alive. And it's powerful. It's active. It when you bring it in, it feeds the soul. And when you stop bringing it in, what happens? The soul starts starving. And you start getting carnal. And acting worldly. What's the answer to that? Get back into the Word of God. Amen? Is that clear enough? Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about the washing of the water by the Word. Amen? So here, in order for me to be this tree that's planted by these rivers of water, I have to reject what the world is saying. Don't take that in. Have to receive what the Word of God is saying. And I've got to let that be rich in my soul.
Amen.
And when those two things are true, I will be like a tree. You see what he's doing there? He's not saying you are a tree planted already. He said this is how you receive that water that nourishes those roots that go down deep. This is how you receive nourishment and strength. This makes you live and fruitful. You will be what God... Listen, when God made a peach tree, he made it to produce peaches. And God made you a Christian tree. And if you let the water of his word come into the roots of your soul, you're going to be what God intended. You will be prosperous in your Christian life. You cannot fail if you'll do what God said here. You can't fail. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to inland China. He went not just on the islands, but he went into the heart of China, spreading the gospel. When he got there, they were in the middle of the Opium Wars. And he goes in and he starts ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to a nation that is rebellious and to the gospel. And he got a hold of this verse. And he said to himself, I cannot fail. If I do what God says here, I will succeed in my mission effort here in China. If I just get in the Word of God and saturate my soul, God promised I will bear fruit, my leaves will be green and lush, and I will prosper in what I'm doing for Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes, I hope that you see that now. Do you see that now? How many times have you been in service before, you know, and a preacher said, now you need to read your Bible and pray every day? How many times y'all heard that? Can I say something to you? It's still the most neglected command there is. You know why we're not witnessing? Because we're neglecting the first command. This is what happens to Christians when they go home from church. And then they Sunday comes around again. They say, "Oh, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? I gotta get my Bible." Some of them have given up on that. They just bring their phone. That way, I got my phone all the time. Y'all see? Have you been to a doctor's office lately? Have you noticed what everybody's doing? Nobody talks anymore. They're just. I'm afraid of going to church one day and looking around and during the service everybody's. You know it's true. You know, when I was first saved, that's exactly what I did. I went to Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service. We had church training service back then. In our church was like almost a Sunday school at night. So Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, church training service Sunday night service, Wednesday night. Then when I got home, I put my Bible down. And boy, did I struggle as a Christian. To the point I thought, man, I don't even think I'm saved. I mean, you can't be saved and think the way I think. Yet, by the way, you can be when you neglect this. You see, it takes you making a commitment. By the way, well, I'll end with this. This is what this commitment needs to look like. Because I promise you, tonight, when you ought to be reading your Bible, your flesh is going to say, yeah, but you know, you have a favorite program on Sunday night. Anybody have a favorite program that comes on just on Sunday night? That's when nobody wants to read. I tell people like, and then you say, look, this is more important to me than that. I got to get in the Word. And then guess what's going to happen tomorrow morning? It will be a battle. And by the way, you can be doing this for 20 years and it still may be a battle one morning. But you know how you win in the Christian life? Remember Psalms 1? It's day and night. Day and night, day and night. Neglect, reject the world. Get the Word in me. By the way, we need more of it, not less. Amen?
Amen.
This is the answer. Christian, this is the answer to your spiritual need. Now, what you ought to do, and I ought to do, is say, Lord, help me this morning to settle this in my mind. I'm no longer going to say, well, if I feel like reading in the morning or at night, if I have time, I'm done with the excuses. I'm going to make a commitment, Jesus, because I want my Christian life to be life-giving, fruitful. I want to accomplish something for God. And I make a commitment to Jesus. Jesus, I will be in your word in the morning and in the evening. And I want you to help me to grow and be the Christian that you said I could be in your word. Psalms 1. Now, did he make a promise in Psalms 1?
Yes, he did.
How many of y'all believe he made a promise in Psalms 1? You do this, you'll be like this. Right? Now, are you going to accept that? If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, it starts first by coming to Christ.
Amen.
And receiving him as your Savior. You're never going to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're only going to be a dead stump until you come to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Come to Jesus and get life. And then Jesus will help you flourish as you obey him. Let's stand for prayer. Father, this morning is so important.